In the infrastructure program, these are the areas that we address. Those are the key areas which refer to construction, maintenance, upgrading, and rehabilitation, and providing new and existing infrastructure, provide infrastructure to match curriculum requirements. In this instance, Honorable Members and Chair, we are referring to spaces like the libraries and laboratories to ensure that the curriculum is delivered to learners in a conducive environment, replacement of inappropriate schools, provision of basic services, damage to infrastructure caused by natural disaster, extension to existing classrooms, and so on. So those are the key areas of the infrastructure program. This slide, Chair and Members, shows the total infrastructure budget that has been allocated for the current financial year. We have three sources of funding: the Education Infrastructure Grant, the Equitable Share, and the School Infrastructure Bedrock Grant. The pie on the pie chart on your left indicates the values in terms of how much has been allocated, and the pie chart on your right is the percentage allocation per program. Now, if you look at that, the EIG, or the Education Infrastructure Grant, is the chunk of our program. 10.5 billion is allocated to the Education Infrastructure Grant, which accounts to 73.8% of the total infrastructure budget. And the equitable share that comes from provinces, that is the allocation by provinces into the infrastructure program, 1.7 billion has been allocated by provinces, and that accounts to about 12% of the total infrastructure budget. And then ACD, which is the school's infrastructure bedrock grant, where also schools is funded from, accounts an amount of 2 billion is allocated to that program, and accounts to for about 14.2% of the total infrastructure budget. So as we can see, because the equitable share and the EIG are in provinces, the biggest chunk of our budget is in provinces. A total of about 12 billion is in provinces, and ACD accounts to about 2 billion of our budget. Now, focusing briefly on the education or on the provincial infrastructure budget, Chair, that is, these are the allocations over the MTF. We've got a total allocation on the EIG of 10 billion in the current financial year. It increases to 11 and to 12 in the outer year, which in total amounts to about 34 billion over the MTF. However, Chair, we know that there will be some budget cuts, especially in the next financial year and the outer year. Yes, tomorrow, PJ. Chair, we just want to indicate on this slide the challenge that we need to upfront indicate to members. If you look at the EIG allocation and the equitable share, the EIG by its nature is a supplement to the equitable share. But the challenge that we have experienced over the years is that the allocation by provinces on the equitable share has been diminishing quite drastically. If you look at provinces like the Eastern Cape, actually they are not allocating even a cent to the equitable share. So provinces are relying quite heavily on the EIG, which I said is actually a supplementary grant. So the tables have been turned around. Instead of the EIG supplementing the equitable share, it is the equitable share that is supplementing the EIG. So you've got provinces like Eastern Cape and Limpopo and Northwest and Northern Cape that are allocating a very small amount to the equitable share. We just thought we should make members aware of this scenario. These are the targets for the 2019 financial year in terms of the sub-programs that we monitor in provinces. We realize that our biggest and the largest number of targets relate to sanitation and water and additional classroom. That is where the major focus is. But there are other sub-programs like grade art classrooms, technical workshops, laboratories, libraries, and so on. So we have all in all 21 sub-programs that we monitor. What is, why I'm saying 21, what is not included here, which is on the next slide, are new and replacement schools. If you go to the next slide, then you've got your target for new and replacement schools. In the current financial year, we are targeting through the ACIDI and the provincial program to build 104 schools over the MTSF. In total, 336 new and replacement schools are planned to be provided. And if you look at that slide again, the biggest chunk of the schools that are going to be provided is ACIDI. 40 schools are targeted to be completed in the current financial year, but we'll talk about that when we go deeper into the ACIDI program. This is just to indicate the overall expenditure on the allocated budget. This is your EIG plus the equitable share. And at the end of the 2nd of September, rather, we were at 41%. There are provinces that are underspending, and we are talking to those provinces just to highlight specifically your Northwest, Limpopo, and Gauteng. We are in discussions with those provinces to come up with turnaround strategies. The same picture presents itself when you look at the education infrastructure grant as well. The second column shows you the allocated budget, which I indicated at the beginning, which is 10.5 billion. Because we transfer money in terms of tranching, the third column will show you how much we have already transferred to provinces by the end of September, which is 6.5 billion, and how much has been spent by those provinces at that end of that period, which is 4.4. And a total of 68% of that transferred money has been spent by provinces. But if you look at the percentage, there are provinces that are lagging behind, and the very same provinces that I mentioned at the beginning, Gauteng, Limpopo, and Northwest, are lagging behind in terms of expenditure on the education infrastructure grant. This is in terms of maintenance. At the end of September, we've got about 1,655 projects, maintenance projects that are being done by provinces, and this slide indicates the expenditure and progress in terms of maintenance at the end of September. And also the slide shows progress with regards to new and replacement schools at the end of the second quarter as well. As indicated, provinces, excluding ACIDI, have targeted to spend to build 63 new and replacement schools. At the end of the second quarter, 27 of those schools have been completed, which translates to 43% progress on the target set at the beginning of the financial year. The next slide shows you the infrastructure delivery management system recorded at the end of the second quarter. That ties back to those targets that are indicated on the 21 sub-program, the number of new schools, school service schools, replacement schools, and so on. And the last column on your right shows the total number of projects that have been completed to date at the end of the second quarter. For instance, you see that in terms of additional classrooms, there is some delay in terms of 358 projects that have been completed to date. The same thing with water and sanitation. We are not doing quite well in terms of those. But those are the issues that we discuss with provinces when we do our monitoring visits. For instance, this week we will be going to the Northwest. We have already spoken to Limpopo. We have already spoken to Gauteng. So on a quarterly basis, we engage with provinces to raise these kinds of issues in terms of level of progress and any other issues that relate to that. And this slide, the next slide, shows the project distribution. In total, we have 6,743 projects that are at different stages of implementation in the current financial year. 37% of those projects at the end of the second quarter, a total of 2,953 projects, went in a plan. 35% of those projects, a total of 1,795 projects, are at construction, and 1,995 projects, which translates to 28% of the projects, have been completed at the period under review. In terms of human resources, we have spoken, I remember in one of the portfolio committee meetings, we did speak about the human resources that we are putting into provinces through the EIG, and about 683 posts have been created through that program. 510 posts have been filled. 173 posts are still vacant, which translates to 55% rather vacancy rate in terms of the posts that are still vacant and are still to be filled. The challenge here, I might add, honorable members, is that especially in your rural province, it's always difficult first to attract your built environment specialists, your engineers, your quantity surveyors, your project managers. But even after you have attracted them and managed to employ them, the moment they get a better option in one of the urban provinces, they are very quick to leave those provinces. So the majority of those vacancies, you find that they are in your rural provinces. We do not have that much of a challenge with your urban provinces. If you look at the last column, for instance, KwaZulu-Natal, you've got a 96% progress. Counting 82%, the provinces that are struggling are your Northern Cape, your Northwest, Free State, and so on. So the challenge is mainly in your rural provinces. This slide, members, shows the type of resources that we put into these provinces. You've got quantity surveyors, you've got architects, electrical engineers, civil engineers, town and regional planners, work inspectors, and so on. Work inspectors are mostly in your district where they actually monitor those projects from the district. And your finance and administration would be your data capturers, your finance people, and so on. Those are those types of resources that we put into those provinces. So this is just to indicate the type of resources and how many are there. We have such a slide also per province to indicate how many per province have been deployed. Now, in terms of the monitoring of the program, this slide is to indicate to members what types of reports we receive from provinces, either monthly or quarterly, in order to monitor this progress. You've got the user asset management plan, which is the final plan that shows all the projects that are being implemented in a particular financial year and beyond. You've got then monthly infrastructure reporting models. This report captures all projects that are implemented in a financial year and presents a financial and a non-financial report for those types of projects. Then you've got your end-of-year report, which measures the progress by the program against your objectives and the outcomes, but it mainly comes at the end of the financial year, focusing on the previous financial year. Then you've got the infrastructure program management plan, and the infrastructure program management plan, which includes your construction procurement strategy. Now, these are the plans that show the projects that are going to be implemented and how those projects are going to be procured. In the construction procurement strategy, you would indicate, for instance, if you are going to use implementing agents, if you are going to use the build, operate, and transfer system or whatever, and how and when are you going to procure those projects. And then you've got the human resource report and your non-financial report. These are the types of reports but you speak from provinces either quarterly or monthly in monitoring this program. And this is the waiting for the assessment process at the end of the financial year for your incentive grant. If you look at it, the infrastructure reporting model takes the chunk, because that is the monthly report that we receive from provinces where they indicate what progress are they making in the delivery of projects. So in the incentive grant, 40% of your score will go towards your infrastructure reporting model. We just thought that we should add a few pictures to show some of the projects that we have completed so far on the EIG. This is the Storms River Primary School. It is in the Eastern Cape, came at about 51.1 million. This is the Seamless Special School as well. This one is in the Eastern Cape. This is the Nokutula Health and School. This project is in Gauteng. And it's also a special school that was recently completed. This is the Olivenhout Bosch Secondary School. It's in the northern part of Pretoria, a beautiful school that was also completed recently. Mantam Chetwa School, this was completed in the last financial year, but it's also a beautiful school deep in the rural areas of KZN, and we would urge members, if you get the time, to go and visit that school. We also thought that we should just add one of the schools that projects that are experiencing some challenges, the Tembisa Special School. This is one of the EIG schools that has been experiencing intermittent stoppages because of community disruptions and SMME disruptions and so on. It's one thing that we'll talk about later in terms of the challenges that we're experiencing in the program and how are we managing those challenges, especially if one is to use the word called the construction mafia. We are experiencing quite a lot in our project. Now, on ASNIDI, the Accelerated School Infrastructure Delivery Initiative, the total budget is 2 billion, as I indicated in the first few slides, honorable members. Out of that, 1.3 billion is on ASNIDI, and 700 million is for state. And the allocation goes on over the MTEF to indicate the allocations on ASNIDI and state. The overall performance on ASNIDI on this slide shows since the initiation of the ASNIDI program, how many projects have been completed and how many are still to be completed. In total, in appropriate budget, we have completed 229 projects to date. 834 sanitation projects and 957 water projects and 372 electricity projects. The right part of that slide shows what have we targeted to complete in the current financial year. We are targeting 43 and 432 on the ASNIDI program. We will talk about the SAFE program later on. And these are the numbers that we have achieved to date in terms of those projects. This is another picture of the Noon Primary. Okay, this one was completed about a year or so ago in the Western Cape. It's a beautiful school. The Flaxen Amafengu is one of the projects that was done by Kuha Development Corporation. It has reached practical completion as well. These are some of the projects as well that have reached practical completion. The Koini to Polondile, Polondile was done by the Department of Public Works in the Eastern Cape. Free State, you've got Hermana, Evenhauser, and Pure Spray. These were also done by the Department of the DBSA. Right, now these are the total number of projects to be implemented. This is on the APP, which we presented previously. As I said, we have targeted to do 40 schools on ASNIDI, in the current financial year, 717 on sanitation. Now, this 717 includes the same project and 225 water projects that are going to be provided to us in the current financial year. And then these are the quarterly targets for this program. Through ACD 48 was targeted to be completed in the first quarter, 5 in the second quarter. So far we have met this target, 12 in the third quarter and 15 in the last quarter. And so on with regards to sanitation and the water that will be provided through ACD. This slide, Chair, shows the projects that are at different stages of implementation. These are inappropriate structures. Currently, we have 75 projects that are in construction. In the middle there, where it says construction progress, it will show you the number of schools or the number of projects that are at different stages. For instance, schools, projects that are below 25% of construction, 14 of them, 19 are between 25% and 49%, 17 are between 50% and 74%, and 25 of those projects are above 75%. So as I said, this total 75, and in total, as I indicated in the previous slide, 229 have reached practical completion. And the first column shows the implementing agents in each of the provinces that are implementing those projects and how each of the implementing agents are doing in terms of the completion of those projects. And the next two slides also shows the same in terms of your sanitation on ACIDI and water also on ACIDI, and it links up to those numbers that I have been talking about since the beginning of the presentation. This last chair just shows how do we monitor projects and implementing agents. We monitor in terms of programs and also in terms of projects. So what we look at is to look at the overall expenditure. We compare expenditure against the projected cash flows. We look at progress made against key projects. What we do in terms of monitoring projects, as I said, we look at progress made against key sets of projects, for instance, water, sanitation projects. And at a project level, we also look at whether planning and design is progressing as indicated in the plan, that the tender processes for the appointment of contractors is progressing, whether the program is on target, on budget, and it is of acceptable quality. Those are the issues that we look at. In terms of challenges, and we're also looking at giving members some remedial actions that we are putting in place to deal with those, I have indicated at the beginning issues relating to declining or no allocation of the equitable share towards infrastructure delivery, and this poses a lot of pressure on the sector because it delays our ability to meet our targets because of reduced amount of money available. And we always enjoy at CEM and EFCOM for provinces to allocate additional funding to the equitable share. And the issue of data is also critical. We are glad to mention that now the EFMS is going to be deployed in all provinces. The EFMS is what we call the Education Facilities Management System. And it will be deployed in all provinces by the 1st of April in the new financial year. And we believe that that will assist us in terms of getting all the data issues sorted, because on the EMMS, one would be able to, by the press of a button, zoom into a particular project, know how far that project is, how much has been paid, what is the physical progress on site, and even pictures of that particular project. You'll be able to look at that project by just a touch of a button. Or you'll be able to see a group, if you want to see in a particular province what is the progress with regards to sanitation or with laboratories or so on, you'll be able to zoom into that particular province. Or if you just want to see a city project, you will be able on the system to see that. Also, access will depend from person to person. Some people will just be able to have viewing access into the system. Some people will be able to have capturing rights and so on. So this system would be able to assist us greatly in terms of being able to monitor, but not only from the side of the community, even people outside will be able to access to that system, meaning the portfolio committee might be given access so that we are able to view if you want to see a particular process. The next issue that we deal with is the issue of schools requiring maintenance. Maintenance has been our weakest link, and we have to acknowledge that. But we have increased the allocation to say provinces must allocate not less than 30% of their budget to maintenance. The target is that by 2024-25 financial year, 60% of the budget should go to maintenance, and 40% of the budget should go to new projects. So this is a progressive move, such that at the end of the day, more resources should be allocated to maintenance rather than new projects. Supply chain processes that will result in regular expenditure and qualified audit opinion to conduct quarterly audits in order to ensure compliance, so that you don't wait for the auditor general at the end of the financial year. On a quarterly basis, there should be compliance audits in order to deal with those types of issues. Late appointment of service providers and implementing agents' lack of capacity. Monthly progress meetings are held with implementing agents and so on. And in a case where an implementing agent is not performing, we are withdrawing and reallocating those projects to implementing agents that are performing better. The last issue that we want to raise to the committee is project disruptions by business communities or business forums and local communities, and also the volatility of the construction industry leading to many companies going under and others filing for rescue. When you appoint a contractor on paper, that contractor seems to be a going concern, but right in the middle of the project, the contractor will go bust, and you are left with nothing but to reappoint a new contractor. And in order to do that, you have to close down that project, do a final account, go through another procurement process to get a replacement contractor. In the interim, you have lost a lot of time to complete that particular project. But I always give an example that who has ever thought that a company like Group 5 would be going to a business rescue in this day and age, but we are living in that kind of a era. So it happens for big companies. For small companies, it's even worse. Going to the sanitation appropriate for education, as I indicated, honorable members, an allocation of 2.8 billion has been made over the MTF for the SWAIT initiative, 800 million in the next financial year, and 1.3 billion in the out year. And the SWAIT initiative is implemented through EIG allocation, through donations, and through the 2.8 billion that has been allocated for the 3 years. This shows the audit of the key latrines in the different provinces, KwaZulu-Natal and Eastern Cape and Limpopo. That's where we get a chunk of those key latrines. a financial report. This is to indicate that we have allocated a total of 606 projects. This is from the 700 million that is allocated in the current financial year. This excludes, we'll talk about it in a slide or two later, this excludes projects that are funded through donors and the EIG. So 606 has been allocated, and the total budget is 689 that has been allocated to this 606 project, and about 26% invoices are at hand. We are using four implementing agents on the state initiative, which is the DLA, which is the Department of Environmental Affairs, the Angola Trust, and the National Education Collaboration Trust, SMIA, the NECT. And on the right, we are indicating where each and every one of those are in terms of progress. This is progress on verification. Just to give a brief explanation on this verification exercise is that we engaged on this project as the DBE to ensure that when we started with the SAFE, you find a situation where, because we got the information from provinces, in some instances, by the time you allocate a project to a donor, the province would have already sent a contractor to work on that particular school. So in order to avoid those delays that lead to duplication, we had to do a verification exercise. So we sent DBE colleagues to go and verify and ensure that indeed this project, this school is a fit toilet, has a fit toilet, so that when we allocate it, there are no delays in terms of duplication. Now, if you add EIG and donor projects, the number of projects is 1,007 that have been allocated in the current financial year. 808 of those are at planning and 127 projects are under construction. And 188 projects have been completed to date, with 18 from donor funding and 170 from EIG and CDC. The challenge is relating to this, the SAFE initiative, honorable members, is that in the first year, in the current financial year, we had to do planning and implementation concurrently at the same time. And in the industry, that is not an ideal way of doing things. And that is why for the next financial year, we are already planning on allocating those projects well in advance, so that planning is done in advance. By the beginning of the financial year, on the 1st of this year, contractors are on the ground and they are moving. So we have to ensure also that project monitoring is kept up to ensure that all projects are completed on time and the quality is up to standard. These are other pictures of some of the completed projects just to show where we have made progress. This is just to show some of the projects that we have completed. You do have cubicles for your disabled learner. You've got your tanks in order to facilitate your hand wash basins and so on for hygiene purposes and so on. And these are the projects that was one of the projects implemented by donors. This one was donated by ASUPOR. Right. Now, in conclusion, honorable members, just to indicate what are the current plans to improve infrastructure planning and delivery in general in the sector. First of all, with regards to planning, delivery, and maintenance, we are working on an integrated national school infrastructure sector plan so that we have a picture of what is it that we are doing and what is it that is going to happen. So all in all, currently, for instance, we have 10 different plans, 9 provinces and the DBE, but they are not aggregated. So what we are doing is to aggregate those in terms of one integrated school infrastructure plan so that you are able at a glance to see what is being implemented in terms of infrastructure and what are our targets. But also we are looking at revising the delivery and look at issues like expediting delivery and dealing with your backlog and controlling the cost of providing infrastructure and also improving contract management. How do you manage your implementing agents? When do you use your implementing agents? Do you use an implementing agent or not use an implementing agent? So those are the issues that we are looking at in terms of revising the infrastructure delivery model, but also to look at standards, plans, and technical specifications so that we have standard specifications in order to ensure that what you see in KZN is what you see in the Eastern Cape. We are not saying that all schools would look alike, but there must be standards to ensure that when you go into a school, you don't find one in one province, you've got a Rolls Royce of a facility, and in another province, you've got some kind of a lesser model. The establishment of an infrastructure bureau, this would be at the national level to coordinate all the macro and micro planning and monitor and evaluate infrastructure projects in the basic education sector. We are also looking at revising the prioritization models to use condition assessment as a determinant for project priority list. What we are trying to address here is that in some instances, especially in provinces, you go into a province, you find a school that really needs attention. But when you look into your infrastructure plans in that province, that school does not fit anywhere in the project list. So this is how we are trying to address that. For instance, that any school that is on condition rating 5 or the school that is on condition rating 1 has to be in your priority list. Because in some instances, you find that schools that really need attention are not being attended to. And also to work very closely with SSA to look at population trends at local level to ensure that the size of schools built addresses current and future population dynamics. This is to avoid issues of white elephants, where sometimes you build a school, after you have completed it 3 years down the line, the population has diminished to a point where that school does not have any learners anymore. So we need to work very closely with SSH to use projections that when we build a school or when we plan a school, we are sure that that school is going to have a critical mass of learners for a period of time. To review SLAs and MOAs with IAs to impose penalties for non-compliance with progress delivery, deduct management fees for non-compliance, and withdraw projects as a result of such performance. Currently, when you are dealing with PSPs and contractors, the JBCC is very clear in terms of imposing penalties and termination processes. But we do not have such clauses with regard to implementing agents. We have started doing that with the DBE. We have taken projects from some implementing agents who are not performing, and we are not giving them any additional projects. Mm-hmm. So we always talk about implementing agents that are not performing, but we have to ensure that we tighten up the contracts that we have with these implementing agents so that there is consistent management with regard to their performance as well. Then also internal capacity, we have spoken, as indicated in that slide, what internal capacity are we talking about, but we also need to tighten our retention strategy, especially for rural provinces, as I indicated earlier on, to ensure that we are able to attract well-qualified people in our rural provinces, but not only attract them, but retain them after you have employed them. And also we need to improve working conditions and provide them with tools of trade. And to also benchmark with other role players like independent schools in order to deal with the cost of building schools. These issues deal with funding and partnership, as I indicated, to ensure that sufficient funding is allocated to the equitable share. The EIG especially must be ring-fenced to ensure that it is used only for that purpose and not for anything else. And the EIG funding is going to be allocated on the base of a business case per project going forward. And we are also looking at diversified funding models like your public-private partnerships, grant funding, your rent-for-rent and private partnerships, and also to look at partnerships with institutions for higher learning and non-governmental organizations and so on. I was giving an example, for instance, that our two new universities are being built in collaboration with the University of Redwood of Rent, which has quite a lot of experts, especially with regards to the procurement of infrastructure. And we should be fostering our relationships with those higher institutions of higher learning. We have very established built environment faculties in their institutions to assist us in the provision of infrastructure. Chair, that is the presentation. Thank you, Minister.
Members, that is the presentation, and all this representation by a show of hands, if you want to raise some questions. Welcome, Mr. Ngogo, and Mr. Tukia, Honorable Machesi, Honorable Ngogo, Father Valls, Tukia, Mashabalala,
thank you, Chair, and good morning to the Minister and good morning to everyone. The issue of infrastructure is probably one of the issues that we fight a lot in the Minister. What I want to find out, Minister, is with regards to mediation, a lot of mediation, maybe we can make it more clarity in it. We have the same implementation, and the same implementation issues are facing us. What is it that you have done to ensure that we don't continue that? We have a very small number of implementations. So they know that, you know, you, because of the capacity, even if they mess up the project, the department will still come back to them and ask them to build schools. So there is no consequences. There's no, you know, liability. So there's a management. But what is it that you have done to ensure that, you know, implementations are aware that, like, should they mess up a project with them, they are not going to mess up a project with the department. I think that's how it should be. And have you ever maybe thought of, like, maybe opening up to international companies to say, can you come and assist us? Because if we are failing within a country and we don't have the capacity, people who can start and finish and understand the responsibility that comes with it. Why can't we do that? And also, I remember last year we spoke about the retention, that the retention will be increased. And I don't see anything, you know, today about, you know, the increase on retention, like, has it been implemented? What effect have you seen where now? You have implemented a higher retention. And also, the other thing is that, as well, you know, we say that if the responsibility comes with the department, the department has to pass them the roles and all that. But if you give somebody a job, they should be able to, you shouldn't be the one who's trying to find them. I know that we are department has a responsibility to do that as well. But now it is constantly, it has to be a department that is passing the road to the end and showing that there are more and more checks and balances. So which makes it very difficult, because that means that, you know, we are, looks like the department is at the mercy of the implementation. There are schools in the Free State there are many schools that are actually like that. I remember there is one in Friday, Tembalike in Friday, Chudokitebe in primary school in Bloemfontein. Grassland School is a school there that is also not completed. For years, the schools haven't been completed. Mooifontein is our strong as well as having been completed. So I didn't see a list of schools. I'm talking about schools that I have been to, but I don't know the list of schools that haven't been completed and how long they've been, you know, sitting and not being occupied. What happened to the schools? Yeah, also the other thing that puzzles me is the fact that, you know, we are told that, you know, with many things, like when it comes to transport, we don't have the proper data. When it comes to schools, the number of schools that need to be refurbished or schools that need to be rebuilt, we don't have proper data on that. When it comes to toilets as well, you know, there's always conflicting data. Don't you have auditors within the department who go out and have the numbers, they should have the numbers. Well, isn't that responsibility to go out and check how many toilets we have so that, you know, there's no conflicting views on terms of like how many schools or whatever that needs to be built. Because we had a different education last week and section 37, Galoshi came, they come with different data compared to 2010. What is the auditor's department doing? Why is it that they're not the ones that are supposed to be asked? I would assume that they would be people that are counting how many schools we need to build. And why is it that always they don't have accurate data when it comes to that? Thank you.
No, thank you very much, Chairperson. My apologies for arriving late, and as a result, I'm a bit disadvantaged. And therefore, you bear with me if I ask questions that would not have been asked under normal circumstances if I were present to listen for myself. The first thing, Jefferson, to note is this one of the figures that do not agree, like it has been quoted by the last member. And therefore, I don't want to go there, but it is confusing to get different figures being quoted. But we have the department here, maybe that will be clarified. Now, Chair, I just want to raise a question which I do not know whether it would be possible to get a straightforward answer. The problem is money that is being used in the provinces to build schools. Generally, if I put it like that, it's problematic sometimes to hear the minister, the MEC, boasting of having built a school for 17 million rand. You'll be, for instance, opening a school for 17 million rand, this million rand, that million rand. When at the in the same province you find that there are schools which are really so much in need, that maybe if another system was used, I quite agree that we do need schools that are up to the right grade, but at the same time it would be unfair to feed me with something that give me food whilst other people do not get they get crumbles. Is there no way of maybe making the provinces approach this in some kind of an even way. It might not be the same, but be reasonable in the manner in which they choose. The other question, Jefferson, is based on is the, on the human resources. You find that there are provinces which are far behind. I'm calling it far behind to have made a progress of, for instance, 67%, unless there are serious reasons that cause them not to be able to appoint people at the right time, because they are given the, they have these posts because they are necessary. Why does it take too much time? Why can they not cope with the time they have set for themselves? And therefore, at the end of the day, they agree they have not met the targets. I just wanted to pose those questions. I will not go too far. I have some other questions. But like I said, I have a great disadvantage.
Thank you, Chair. Morning, Minister. Chair, I'm just very quickly regard to discuss the issue of the underspendment on allocations of the EIG specifically. And I think I've said it before, and that is, what is the result to province or anybody, or for that matter, any implementing agent, if we don't meet the deadline? I mean, it's like, you know, a little child who gets a few speeches or letters. What's the real impact to get improvement? Because there isn't any improvement. I mean, I've been here since, I don't know when, since the previous minister, and the fact of the matter is, as if the sense of urgency might be with our minister and at national level, but when it goes down to provinces, you know, we're busy. I mean, this is the money that we receive via treasury, mostly, from people out there that pay their taxes. And I'm sure to everybody education is an emergency or an essential service for that matter. But it's as if it gets lost somewhere. So surely there must be harder, I don't know, penalties. In fact, blacklisting, we've asked for it in the past. I remember that previous Minister Pally Jordan once says to me, what do you want me to do with these people? Now, it's not that he didn't know. I think that everybody knows what should happen, but it's not happening. People keep on, money gets allocated, maybe we should start blacklisting, maybe we should start withholding money, non-performance, I don't know if people are still getting bonuses or still getting contracts. Something serious has got to happen, and it's not happening. It's not happening. I have the same issue with maintenance. I recently visited in Rooibos in the Tawazumbi area, the Tawakirigudu school. It's an ex-officers of a mine. It is not conducive for teaching the learners of Rooibos. Not at all. We even have stopped living there in terrible condition, etc. There is a site for a school. It's not happening. But the thing is, if we do put children and teachers in a school and it's not maintained, it's not even cleaned. I went to the Eastern Cape to visit schools. A week before the schools closes, the teachers are nowhere to be seen. The classrooms are filthy. What happened to the days before you go on holiday 4 times a year to actually clean your classroom? And you come a day before the school opens again and we wash the toilets and the floors and the window. It is not happening. And if you do not have continuous maintenance on the daily stuff at your school, you can't expect the bigger maintenance to happen. I don't know, maybe we must get prefects or somebody in schools to do duty in our bathrooms. I don't know how people go through bathrooms in some of our schools. Neither our teachers, and I wish the unions would stop fighting for their teachers for their toilets. Never mind the learners, which is crucial. Maintenance is an issue, and I would love to see the day that we spend 60% of our budget on maintenance, because sir, I'm telling you it's not going to happen in our lifetime. It's not going to happen, you can write it down. You said 2025. Well, that's about less than 6 years away from us. In 6 years, come back and visit you. Not going to happen. And then, Chair, I would like to know the issue about tender processes there on slide 40, when you speak about tenders cancelled. I would like to know what are the reasons and what are the real impacts for tenders being cancelled and then have to restart again. And I would also like to maybe say that we should call the MECs of these three provinces predominantly underspending under 30% to this committee to come and explain to us what happened, because I don't think it's fair to continuously grind the national department for provinces also not playing their part and then we have to take the blame. And we had an informal discussion earlier, let's call Public Works as well to come and explain what's happening from their side. I think if we can call Minister of Sport, Arts and Culture, and we can call Higher Education, we have neglected to call Public Works as well. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I also want to just extend my apologies for the way I've done that. I'm at a bit of a disadvantage, so please forgive me if I'm asking something that has maybe been answered. Thank you very much for the presentation. Good morning, Minister. I'm sorry, I didn't get to speak. Just in terms of the questions that I have, I just want to know, in terms of the linkage of projects to other programs and departments when it comes to the infrastructure program, and I'm specifically referring now to the other program that we are all very excited about in terms of the vocational training, the exit of students in grade 9. How much of what is being planned in terms of infrastructure to can be linked to capacitate those programs where we do know that we may have an infrastructure challenge to take up students into technical or vocational training? So how much of that has been factored in or linked? Has that linkage been done in terms of the objectives of the department when it specifically comes to that program? And any other program, because it seems as if it seems to me, and again, I'm green, I don't have the experience as Honourable Van der Waal say that I've been here for 4 administrations. So
I'm going to keep the change.
So, but how much of those, because it seems to me as if we're working in isolation in government. You know, we have a lot of money we spend in one program and then we fail to really, take advantage and, really just work interdepartmentally so that we keep the money in government and actually ensure that we are reaching our objectives, which is one, skill development of people in communities, secondly, uplifting communities and getting people off social grants and ensure that young women and young men are actually benefiting from these programs, either through skill development or through small businesses that are women-owned, that are on the ground and that are being linked to these big companies that are being used then, or private entities that are being used that have the skills, because it is a reality that smaller businesses may not have all that capacity, but we must ensure that we are actually reaching our objectives in terms of our communities, that they are benefiting from this. because it is a big problem when we use huge amounts of money to big contractors that are not delivering, and then our communities are still suffering, staying in the same place, but they are not benefiting from the very programs that government has. So the linkage of programs, if somebody can, you know, speak on that, if that has been done. The number of schools, vocational schools, technical schools, can we get a list of those schools that are either going to be built and that are available within the provinces? And again, I want to highlight this. A lot of our young people that are sitting at home, we are not able to give communities an answer so that these young people can actually be linked to services from our constituency offices. That is what we want. We need to use these programs, and we need to know what's happening there so that we link it to the needs within those communities. I just want to also ask, in terms of special care centers, that have been by the advocacy group brought to the attention of the committee, how many special centers in terms of facilities are part of this program? And per province, how many of them are being are made part of it? In terms of the amount of money that has been spent, and it's a huge amount of money, investment that the government and the citizens of South Africa are making into our schools to ensure that this education department services our people. How much of that money has been spent on projects to date where the work has not been completed? So it means money has been paid out, but yet physically nothing has happened. How many of those do we have, and per province? And I want to link it up to what Honourable Van der Walter said, so that this committee can call MECs within those provinces that they can tell us. I've had a disturbing report during the constituency project that here in the Western Cape, a school was being given, the mafia that was referred to earlier, to a known criminal. And we need to know, as this committee, how many of those do we have? How much of those challenges, and what is being done about it? Thank you, Jay.
Thank you very much, Chair. My greetings to Minister and your team and the minister. Thank you very much, Chair. My take is that, when we were receiving the presentation last week, if we have received this presentation that we are receiving now, and the presentation that we have received last week, we would have been able to come to a clear conclusion, because sometimes you conclude to a half-cooked report. Now we're getting the whole picture of what is happening in the department and what the department is doing in terms of the infrastructure and what has been presented to us last week. Sometimes, please, don't give us things that are not talking to one another. When you give us the information, you consolidate the information that is done by the independent people who are outside of government and the work that is being done by us in terms of the government, so that we can be able to balance our discussion. Now, I want to congratulate the department first and foremost in terms of the report that we have just received. Because it won't help us if we don't indicate what is our feeling about the report that we are giving out. I'm happy with what we are receiving today. I'm really, really happy because it tells me that there is definitely that is happening. It's not all dark and not really gone out there. So to me, I'm happy with the report that we are getting, although we would love to get a report. Maybe even if it's a quarterly report, because it might not happen within 2 months that everything is done and that's it. So at least if we will always get the progress report in terms of how far are we with our problems, because the challenges will always be there. And ours is to deal with those challenges step by step. My worry, Chair, is on the area where in terms of the overall expenditure to up until September from the program, different program. Maybe we need to get a follow-up in terms of why these provinces have not performed properly, especially the health province, where they've only spent 24%, whereas others have already spent more than 50% already. Why are they still not really doing the work that they're supposed to do? One of those provinces is also Northwest, and also the Mpumalanga province. I know some, and Limpopo as well. No, it's Limpopo, not Mpumalanga. Mpumalanga has done very well. It's Limpopo. And Limpopo is one province that the report of last week was focusing on the situation in the area of Limpopo. And now it tells us what is going on there. And the implementation of the programs that's supposed to be implemented, it's not done properly. Hence, the expenditure in their part. Therefore, it means, Minister, we need to focus and check what is going on in Limpopo vis-a-vis the report that we've received last week, and this report, which now we can see from the gaps that there are gaps that are not really happening there. But no, that is not only Limpopo, at least in this report. This report gives us the whole picture of the entire country, and that one was only given us Limpopo. So to me, I think that if we can do a follow-up on that, and of course, on the overall performance in terms of the budget, the MTEF budget, I think I will also want to say well done to the department, because when you look in terms of the sanitation, the implementation in terms of the sanitation, you can see there is a problem. Also on the electricity, it's well done, because it's 100% implemented. And on the water side, yes, there is a good progress, and also that we can also upload them in that particular area. The only area that I'm worried about is in terms of the infrastructure, because in terms of the overall performance there, we are lacking in terms of that one. So if we can pull ourselves in there, I'm sure we'll be able to achieve things that we want to achieve. Before I end, Chair Minister, I'm not sure if this matter has been brought to your attention or there is any investigation that is now happening. I've read the newspaper yesterday when I was on my way to the site that there is a school in AZN in Durban where the exams were taking place, and one of the students incited others and they took the exam papers and throw them in toilets. The whole package of exam papers, I think it was a Zoom paper that they were writing, and then the student got angry and she took all the exam papers and she dumped it in the toilet. I think if that can be followed up, if it hasn't come to your attention. The second one is the issue of the, I think this one, the officials, especially from the department where they've been with the infrastructure. If you can please do a follow-up on this one, to check the MOU between the province of KwaZulu-Natal and the city of Durban in terms of the provision of the ablution facilities. Because that MOU, it was one solution that was working when I was still in Etiwini, to say that the provision of the sanitation will be provided by municipalities in schools, and then the province will pay back the municipality what the municipality used in terms of the provision of the infrastructure. I think to me that could be one of the solutions, apart from the implementing agents that we have. But if we can have that relationship with some of the people, it can really affect us. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. the response that we got today, it was an opportunity to see what we are really having in the department and we compare to what we have had a few days ago. We would have seen that there are so many times among them challenges. But with this report, we see that there is work that is being done, although a lot still needs to be done. And we have to acknowledge that that work is happening. And very soon, or in the near future, most of these problems will have been solved. My only worry, perhaps, will be on slide 19. This is the target of the additional classroom that are supposed to be built, 1,020. And today it's about 158. I just want to find out whether that target eventually met come the end of the financial year. The second question, perhaps we find out in the in phases where projects are allocating liquid or nothing at all to EIG, has the department ever there to stand on in order to force the provinces to allocate them? Do you have a leg to stand on given the autonomous nature of the provinces? Because they have to make their own decision. Do you perhaps have a way of ensuring that they do sometimes add or allocate some money? The last for me, how is the prioritization of the school to be built? I come from the province that was performing the government and I'm at a great land. And in a second where a lot of schools have been built, new ones, but there is this community school that has got very good sanitation facilities, but the classrooms are in a bad shape. And it's called the Shellac Primary School in Dhaka, which published my year the second. Thank you.
I've been given permission to fire off. Let us thank you, Madam Chairperson, and at the same time appreciate the fact that the Minister, together with entourage, led administered by the Honorable Director General, thanks for coming. And then as we join hands in addressing challenges we are faced with on day to day. Let me start right away by saying I will quote myself, not quote another person, saying the future of this our country in essence lies in the hands of our children. I don't think that can be debated. Hence, the need for us to invest in their education. Because you see, an uneducated nation or children will produce an educated future, and which will be doomed. I was quoting myself. You see, we want to welcome, my heart is melting. We welcome this progress report on the infrastructure planning and deliver. To be honest, our performance at the end of the term or our performance daily basis as you operate. And our performance will be in the main just how we shall have performed in as far as this aspect is concerned. I know there some major challenge, or some can say safety in our schools is a bone of contention. It's true, I agree. But the whole issue, Chairperson, on the planning and delivery of infrastructure rests at the core. Honorable Minister, how the world outside there, including our own communities, are going to judge us. And sometimes our approach will be very wrong, Chairperson, if we think we can apportion blame to one person when we must, in principle, be joining hands to make it a point that we make a situation a workable situation for that matter.
What?
You see, you see, Chairperson, in life, normally I say, if somebody does not protect me, I will find ways of protecting myself. But you know, thank you very much for protecting me in advance. The NPD, NDP, National Development Plan, as presented and adopted by Parliament, has checked and seen that it is further captured within this your report, states very clearly, hence the importance of infrastructure, that we have got a duty to ensure that all schools meet minimum standards for infrastructure and commit to the progressively upgrading each school's infrastructure to meet optimum standards. This one, I was quoting the MDP, I was not quoting myself. So, given all this, I think we can all now say we are on the same page with regard to how important the whole concept of infrastructure is. Now, let me come with this as a question. In your presentation, you have made mention of allocation to provinces. On the whole concept of equitable share. And you have further indicated three provinces, Limpopo. I'll start with the Limpopo, because myself and Honorable Van der Walt, we emerged from there. And yes, Limpopo. You see, and Eastern Cape and Northern Cape, that they are apparently, there is a slide I just checked here, which shows that there is very little, if anything, done in these three provinces. And I want us to join hands. So that you see, Honorable Minister, if something sometimes becomes insurmountable for you to handle, you openly share with us. Are we going to leave the situation as it is, wherein provinces, when they get assistance in the name of EIG, they completely fold their arms and say, now we are not going to do it, and we don't care them about it. And we say the situation is normal. I know it may not be your responsibility, but this sitting here, this portfolio, constituting seated here, I believe we can come with recommendations and the ways and means wherein we can be able to show the provinces that when we come to the issue of equitable shares,
something must be done from the left in as much as it is being done from the right, so that we join hands and improve the situation at least. Folding arms and say Limpopo is doing nothing on equitable sharing, and Northern Cape, where the chairperson of the portfolio committee comes from, is equally doing nothing, and let alone Eastern Cape, I don't think it is going to take us anywhere. Hence, I'm saying, can we please look for ways and means of joining hands and in steering into these three provinces, and maybe even some others which are doing very minimal as far as this is concerned, for us to improve on the planning and delivery of infrastructure. The second one, this one I will be supporting Honorable Chabalala. I don't know whether it is going to be a comment, or it's going to be a proposal, or it's going to be a request, let alone a prayer. You see, Madam Chabalala was more than right. Sometimes things go wrong depending how you present them. We should be very, very aware that these meetings which we hold in the name of portfolio committee meetings, these walls here have got both ears and eyes. The nation is watching us outside there. And the nation is listening when we speak here. So we want to make a humble request. Hence, I did not know how to qualify it. You call it, you can qualify it yourself at the end of the day. You see, the manner in which we receive reports. Honorable Chabalala has categorically stated that if wishes were horses, we should have got this report before we got the report on both equal education and Section 27. So that, you see, we send one uniform and common message to the outside world. Hence, I'm going to make a proposal, Honorable Minister, that please find ways and means. There are many organizations with interest on education, but you are sitting there or standing there as the final arbiter in the delivery of education in South Africa, as entrusted by the Honorable President. So find, initiate and find ways and means of making the point that you liaise with stakeholders, especially those stakeholders with interest, to come and address us here. You find ways to brief each other. If you realize that they are going to come before you come, or before you make a presentation here, liaise soberly, liaise with them, and please, where possible, invite them for a cup of tea, brief them, so that what they are going to present should not be a direct opposite of what you will end up presenting. You know what is happening, Honorable Minister? People normally have got a tendency of taking what comes first as the truth. And even when you come to try and make what you call a damage control present, no matter how sweet and smart your reporting can be, that's a fool. But the message landed yesterday. How do you deal with it? We are pleading with the Department of Education to find ways and means how best they can come together and brief each other before presentations come here. There are many people, of course, with interest in education.
The report, that report was unpleasant, to be honest. Let us be very honest. And some of us who are directly linked to schools, we could realize that it was either outdated or you can get the other terminology in SRS, but it must be synonymous to an outdated information. So we are pleading with you. Put your house in order. In the Bible, they said, put your house in order because you are going to die. But this time, put your house in order because we are making a presentation to the nation. The last one. This one, I am going to support Honorable Van der Waal. Yeah, you see, she made a plea making emphasis on the whole issue of maintenance of our schools. I started schooling many years ago, many years. But when I started schooling, what was being used, schools were built by communities during the apartheid era. Schools were built by communities. If you see the department getting in, they were operating on what they call rand for rand base. You build, you produce community, raises half, we bring you the other half so that it is equal to one. That one was the school. That was the time when you and I were going to school. Yeah, rand for rand base. I don't know what best can we do to foster ownership of schools within our community. And again, this Honorable Minister cannot be your baby. We can only partner. It cannot be a one-man show on this. You see, I hate a situation in life where every time we speak, we finger point in the name of blame. Blame. You are the cause. As if it's in the Garden of Eden. You see, when God said to Adam, what have you done? Adam said, the wife you gave me. He forgot that not very long. Say, I mean, Madam Van der Waal. Okay. So that he has just forgotten that he was dancing and jumping, saying, this is the bone of my body. Apportioning blame. I'm talking about the blaming. And when he went to it pointed at the snake. So it will become a vicious circle, and at the end of the problem will remain. Fostering ownership. Let me conclude that the situation which happened in Wuhan, Madam Chairperson, should be condemned with the utter condemnation ever. People building schools, expecting the department to come and build new schools on the same foundation. The situation which happened of recent, Honorable Minister, at Rajesh, just not very far away from my home, where the community decided to burn the school when they were demanding a new school, must be condemned. There is deliberate not caring and careless in the name of maintenance of our school, to such an extent that the vicious circle wherein we will build schools, they get vandalized, they build schools, they get vandalized, is not going to be a good story to tell to the world outside. Hence I'm saying, I'm making another appeal that let us join hands at this level as the Portfolio Committee on Basic Education to see how best we can go out there and say to our communities, this is your school. No matter you might not have contributed, I understand the issue, the concept of equitable sharing. You are doing it at the level of national, basic education national, and also the provinces. But what about our communities, which must also have a sense of ownership into this course? Let's take this as our challenge and see how possibly we can join hands to foster this sense of ownership in households. Thank you very much. Jefferson, I thought, was I preaching?
Yeah.
Okay, yeah, I'm a pastor. Yeah. I'm a pastor.
So I think it's also the passion, you know, of education, want to see things that right, and get that in all the members of the community. Is that what we got before something?
Yes.
So you want follow-up before?
No,
I provoked him.
It's not a follow-up, Jefferson.
Can I give you
want
one minute?
Of
one
kind.
Minute.
Yeah, I have a minute. No,
okay.
I just want to check something here. There are three provinces. I don't know whether it's the same question, similar question, which was asked by Honorable Ramaphosa. Is that the one? Sometimes it confuses you. You get me. If the Eastern Cape, I'm talking about the summary of projects completed for the financial year 2019-2020, and we're talking about the first and second quarter, so they still have. But there's something which really surprised me. Their targeted numbers, if I may quote them, were 547 in that order, Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, Northwest. And their achievements are, three of them, are 000. When on the other hand, there is Limpopo and Mpumalanga, their achievements are 163%, 100%. It doesn't, it's confusing, unless there's a mistake somewhere about it.
What page?
It's slide 18, that one, I know, I remember.
Sorry, I just forgot to ask something on slide 19 where we've got the IDMS report. We also speak about school walls. I see there was a total target of 30. I just want to ask something which I've seen in practice working. I'm not sure if this is meant to be a complete separate school wall. Because in some schools, like the Bonnie Primary in Benin, when we built that school, we actually had a wall with a sort of a division inside. You can divide it, so it becomes two classrooms, but when we need an exam hall or a community meeting, parents meeting, you open it up, it becomes, or are we still going that way, or are we going beyond grant? Because I think we must also look at saving money in some way.
Thank you. I just want to talk about, you know, this the avalanche of emails that we received as a committee on the comprehensive sexual education. So Mr. Minister, are we here? I know it's outside of it, but the minister is going to be.
Listen, that's you. I'll give the order to the minister.
No, it's fine.
I believe that can allow the department to present. Maybe if you can, when she leaves, you can go with her and make that. No, you don't know that. But what you can do, can you allow us to finish the first presentation, and then maybe before she leaves, she can just chip in.
We all receive the emails. Yeah. We all
no, but I'm saying, let us focus on this one. Finish with the presentation, with the responses, and then you can ask, because it's not even in the agenda. You understand? So, can we just be ordered and allow us to finish with this presentation of today,
okay, no,
and then we'll deal with that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yes, no, Aja, okay, just one thing that I would say that I would like to talk about, the budget cut. Tomorrow we'll be hearing about budget cuts. I just want to find out if maybe you've been, privy to information, how will it affect the infrastructure? How would you know about it as an aspect?
Well, fine. Thank you. I don't want to get people so being biased. You know, when I said the chair, it was not nice. But thank you very much for the presentation. I also have a few questions that I want to raise. On page 7,
the report that we received of the section 27 that was presented at the 22nd, the report alludes to cases where DDE is making worse pitch violence. But on the presentation slide on 48 to 52, it shows you know, a progress on other provinces. Department went to the committee what plans are in progress for 2019-2020 financial year to improve the situation, in particular in Limpopo, Eastern Cape, KZN, and Free State. And also maybe just to indicate the theme of weather on the presentation that we received on the 22nd, that one of Section 27, that members have alluded that it was focusing on projects that or schools that have pictorials in the Limpopo. Does your presentation also cover, you know, those are because we are there actually, we saw all those the schools that you showed. Is there progress to report on those schools in particular where there were the same challenges of helping toilet? On page 9, it speaks about the total infrastructure budget of 10.5 billion for 2019-2020. Does the DPE have project scoping plan for each province? Where the execution of the infrastructure provincial plan is monitored on a regular basis, and how often do the province report their progress, whether it's monthly or quarterly? I guess also the members requested that they be given such a progress report quarterly. I think it was a proposal by Honorable Shawalala. On page 12, on the allocation of the province, the slide outlines allocation per province. Does those allocations per province also speak to, you know, their strategic planning, a plan of provinces? Because I think we're going to have to meet with the provinces and have our session as the committee. And also that was requested by the committee in the last meeting to say we must meet with all the provincial departments so that we can have those meetings with them. On page 13, it deals with the technical workshops and laboratories. I see only Northern Cape has a target targeted about two, number two, and it's a worrying factor because you see all the provinces there is no a targeted plan, whether to build technical workshops or even number two, and when you have significant math and science learners achievement. I think it needs more, and also the pronouncement by the minister that there are other technical subjects that have been introduced. So you ask yourself why there are no plans or targets, you know, put in place to make sure that we realize that. On the 16th, speaks of the expenditure pattern. I think this one, majority of members spoke about it, these provinces that are looking behind in spending, about between 20 to 24%, you know, Northwest where I come from, also looking behind. I don't know if it's because of the issue of being under administration, but yes, it's already on that one. There's also and also the Northern Cape. Maybe if you can just maybe give us how do you monitor
they have been doing a on page 18, this of new and replacement of schools, where there is no progress in the Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, and the Northwest. If maybe the department can outline whether this is related to planning in 2018-2019, or other challenges that were, you know, presented, where the community also disrupts such progress. And on page 21, on the human resources, I think we should, you know, commend the department for at least filling up about 25% of the position. I think we'll also maybe get some progress, you know, in what the department has done in filling up some of the challenges that are faced by the department. I think let me pause there for now and we'll check other follow-up questions after this project.
I don't want to confuse what the LS understand the frustration of members around this, even for us and for a number of reasons. One is the huge backup that we never take a context to what resources we have. The last time we did our estimate of the backup was about 98%. Huge backlog. We've not been able to put anything in township schools because we're actually chasing the infrastructure. So it's one of the most difficult areas that we're working on. There's a huge backlog. And it's an infrastructure used by young people, young and energetic, of breakages and other things. That's one of the biggest frustrations. For urban provinces also change, you have your ever-changing demographic settings. A huge immigration to urban, huge migration into housing. You put up a structure tomorrow, there's a new community, there's a need for a school. So it's just this organized many things that we do, then you find yourself transporting people. So taking the money which has not planned, because if a new area arises the next day, there's nothing you can do even to educate them. So, I mean, for instance, housing, when I was MEC, our budget for transport was about 20 million. But now, even in migration, they spent almost 800 million to start transporting kids around the province. And that's money we should be moving elsewhere. And I've asked housing to say, let's find a way or just get the province to be able to outbuild schools so that we can save the money, because spoiler transport, the bottom that's peak. So you spend this, so, and I'm not giving, so I'm just also expressing our frustration, which is that young people moving into areas, if you know how they meet them, suddenly there's a place which never had people, there are town heights, houses, so there's also lots of planning problems. Every young housing of a problem moves to the east because it's a new growing area and no schools. You find yourself just in a twist. So infrastructure is a big, because I want to first. But you quite like also the capacity to do things. And that's one of the big points. I think that's never my shaking leg to say this implementing agency which I really have in the country and the capacity to do work. Once you want to perpetuate, you can say South African business must go to South Africans, but it just is a big problem. But also with the new atmosphere, it makes it even difficult. It's going to be very difficult to even move outside communities. Mm-hmm. But in other projects, people just kill. There's nothing you can do because they're putting people's lives on the line. If you don't find a way of really managing community relationships, not only ourselves have been blocked from nothing. You know, like they're just letting finding a way through. I have a personal experience of those difficulties, Chair, so I thought that we didn't have been post-chair today. And I found myself hostage. Police had to come and get me. Yeah, I was held hostage by contractors in the area to say, you're not moving until this contractor signs in your name. So police had to come and rescue me. So it is a big problem. Provinces are trying to find ways, because maybe rightfully so, provinces just feel nothing about us without us. So find other ways of doing business in a way which accommodates them so that they're able to move, because you also want to move ownership. And you don't want them to reject it from the way, from the start. That it's not that through the process before. They do all sorts of difficult things. So it's not fair, when you want to acknowledge the frustration, the difficulty that we face. The only point I want to make, too, not responding to most of the technical problems, is also just the management of infrastructure and other programs. I hear members saying we're going to call provinces, but they don't account to us. We can call them, they'll speak to us, but then they don't account to us. Infrastructure and the provincial competence. With EIG, we're holding, and that's one whole thing we have over them, holding money to disperse to them around place. But as soon as the money reaches the provincial coffers, then it's the provincial responsibility about how the money is spent. So all we can do is to monitor, and that's why we've asked Treasury to give us capacity, which we're going to be asking, to support, so that we support their plans. But I don't know how many people want to play first, but we're not meant to, even in terms of the Constitution, to be implementing school programs. Mm-hmm. So all we can do is to collect information for you, bring it to you. And once we have to work out, we say, how do we nudge provinces to do things differently? I mean, sometimes, I mean, there was a case and they spent almost 900 million on salaries, which was meant for infrastructure. But if it reaches the provincial pocket, it's the provincial resources that we can. So there are also those difficulties that we have to deal with. And I must admit that provinces are cooperating with us. I don't want to really expect more of them. Some provinces are really also very capable. I mean, we had joint programs in the Western Cape. One has two problems in schools, but we're able to solve them together when the technical infrastructure program, but we owned it up together. And simply because the province has its own build capacity in the department. In other provinces, the provincial government decides that infrastructure is going to be done by public works only. So then we find that the department has no capacity to manage, and like I was saying, they have their own internal capacity, they have their own engineers, they have their own planners, and that's why they're more capable of managing their contracts and other things. And again, if a province has made a decision, they're a full sphere of government authority. If they decide, I mean, the worst thing is now, they've taken a decision that infrastructure is going to be public works, so we shouldn't just go by to anything, so we shouldn't have to give them the list. And and then there are also rules about how you deal with each other as government departments, and each other to court. Whereas if you see service providers, I can remove contracts, I can do certain things with them, I can take them to court, but the law doesn't allow me to take another department to court. So again, there are those technical issues. So I'm also not scared. And about incomplete structures, there might have been issues yesterday. How they perform relatively well, but in these schools are overcrowded, but there are also three incomplete structures. So what I can do is to go to the MEC and say MEC was in this school. So there's not, I don't have the budget for those schools. It's missing. So I communicated with you to say I went to a school, the foundation, the Community Services Foundation has been lying for 3 years, and actually we're going to lose value, it's going to be more expensive to come back and all sorts of things. So those are some of the problems that we have. So what we're trying to do is to say, now that we've got lots of difficulties in this area, discussing with Treasure, what is it that we can young professionals who love the sector to be expected to go and help themselves in those sites. It's just very insulting. It's dehumanizing. You go to other schools, just yourself feel very, live with a lump to say how to be really allow pro. So it is a problem. So I just wanted to add this in the next one. The last one that I wanted to talk about, Chair, because I just wanted to just give the teacher to say, it's an area where we have to take responsibility, but we're taking responsibility for something we're not responsible for. We're not responsible for school infrastructure, like I say. Here, we're just a bank to give money to provinces as they claim. So what we're trying to improve as a department is to say, how do we leverage the fact that money is coming through us, and that we can leverage planning, support, and other things to those provinces. But we really are looking for what we can. And it's not just the patient at ourselves, because we've never meant to be a, just a policy and monitoring structure. But we I think this would have required it. The last one, which I think we will discuss about how we deal with infrastructure or other plans and other things, just to remember, and I shared the sentiments that you have around just getting communities and expanding the budget. And with that sector as big as ours, sometimes we have to remind ourselves to say, what is our purpose? Because when you be masters of everything, jacks of everything, masters of nothing. Mm-hmm. And I have to remind the people to say, be focused. Because sometimes this thing of lacking focus, the one that leads us into troubles where kids can't do the right and come or basic speaking. So that the importance of out of school youth, the importance out of your young grandchildren, recipients, sometimes you don't want it to also defocus because you can easily be defocused in the sector where there's a lot of interest. And the last one, the principal. I really want to make it. And Mashallah, we can't take responsibility because you invite people. So you have to take responsibility for how you. But I can't say invite us first. So we just are subject to the leadership of the portfolio committee. So we say we have to get our act together. I was asking myself, why act together? We don't invite people to come and make presentations to the portfolio committee. So so it's the committee that invites, and sometimes I think it's correct to invite even other people outside the department to verify the information that we have. So when we present, we have another voice. We're not reliant only on the voice that comes from the department, but we're not responsible for what other people say about the department. We can't take responsibility for where they get the information. We ourselves, as we reported, and that's why we have verifiers. Because we don't run schools, we don't have some of the information, we have to dig it in provinces. That's why now we even have teams that have to go on our behalf, now that we're doing sanitation as a national project, that we get people to go and do verification for us. But we don't collect that information because we don't run schools, right? So what we've decided to do also, to just have a national picture, we're reactivating NIMS to say at least, even the information that comes from province, we need to verify it. But it's not information that we collect on an ongoing basis. Because we don't run schools, we don't know how many schools how many toilets? It's not part of our group, but we just think it's important that we get that information, start collecting it. And that's why it's not by that deliberate that we want to receive people by just not providing proper information. For instance, on masking, we get the request from provinces. We go to treasurer to go and make an appeal for those masking on the basis of what provinces do. And as we deliver, we pick up, as you said, we then pick up that province have not given us all the schools. Then we have to make another request to treasurer to say we picked up other schools. As we go on, then we pick up, that's information that's assigned in provinces. And that's why I want to reactivate them so that we have the information ourselves, so that when we work with provinces, we can interact on the basis of information. So I want to acknowledge that there is also an information problem, but it's not meant to mislead or misguide because we ourselves need reliable and correct information. We have nothing to lose by just sharing proper information. And in terms of NGOs, because we are saying we must get our act together, there are more than 10,000 NGOs working in the education sector. can't be lying behind one thing, two NGOs. So we form structures and forums where we interact with NGOs. We can't go under one, two, three and say which one is more loud than the other, therefore I have to get my act together and bring them. No, I can't. So we have forums where we interact with NGOs, and they help us a lot, to be honest. I mean, as a sector, we'll not survive without those NGOs. So if there's 2, 3, 5 ones that are prominent, that's fine, but there's more than 20,000 that helps us on an ongoing basis in schools. When killed children are raped, we rely on NGOs to come and do assist us with work when we have to deal with special needs. We sometimes don't have the expertise. We rely on NGOs. So there's lots of NGOs that we're working with. And I must say we appreciate and value all NGOs in the sector because they are a very big resource to us. So it's not as if we know any or we have to go to 1, 2, 3, 4, but let them come with us, like with all other NGOs at the forums which we have established. But if they prefer to work outside the forum, there's very little I think we can do except that we want to burn the little energy we have to change the 5 or 3 or 10 that is prominent at the expense of the 20,000 that helps us with all sorts of things that we need in the sector. So it's not that if we don't appreciate them, we value them, but we depend on them. Okay, we'll speak about the budget cuts, because there are.
Yeah.
Even the transport, but I think after near potential. So, no, there are budget cuts. We are, even ourselves have been instructed, because I think we've been come back. We've been instructed to even look within the department where we can do better cuts. From what treasury is that? We had to review all traveling, cancel if they were overseas. So there are lots of things that we have to do. We have to merge branches to be able to do things, you have to rationalize. So it's a whole process of things that, and you might have to report at some stage, but that's still busy with the exercise because treasury wants, even after tomorrow, wants us to identify more areas of the country. We might do the urgent ones, and there's all international public only to it, what test is most urgent. So we don't run us and delegation. I'm supposed to send the delegation to the UNESCO. Departments are giving me up to 43, reduced to 50. And those are the directors from treasury. But we can give you more information here about where have we also added cuts as per instruction of treasury. But they have done some haircuts on their own. Areas where they've already on their own decided whether we stream or not stream, they're cutting here. And yeah.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, Honorable Minister. I see that Honorable Members want to bring forward the medium-term budget. Don't want to steal the thunder of the Minister of Finance. So, the Minister is right. The budget cuts are very deep. For instance, all the grants have experienced the cuts. That's just what Treasury has done, apart from what the Minister indicated and expected to do. So all the grants will be experiencing a cut. That information will come out tomorrow. But Honorable Majesty raised the issue of failing implementing agents. What are we doing? What are the consequences? Well, indeed, for a long time, we've not been doing anything, but we started doing something. In the last meeting that we had, where we presented the annual report, I did indicate that we have written to each implementing agent that is not performing. And the key question we are asking is why should we continue to do business with them if they don't perform? And we're dealing with them the same way, whether you are Public Works, whether you are UHA. And we have already started 2 years ago with 2 projects from IDT, and we reallocated them to Bola Trust and the TDSB. In the same project, we've excluded IDT, we've excluded UHA, we've excluded many of them because of their performance, and we told ruling that we are not going to use your services anymore because you don't perform. There's a track record of underperformance. That we have done. And I've also written to each one of them after we received the annual report, because the regular expenditure, the fruitless expenditure comes from them. And we said, as I committed to the committee, that we are going to recover every cent. Even if it means spending 10 times to get just 1 cent, we're going to do it. And we've written to them. And we indicate, we've even given them deadline when we expect them to either pay back. If not, then we're handing them over to lawyers to deal with them. And that's a good thing when you deal with entities that are not government. Government, as the minister said, the Intergovernmental Relations Framework Act says you can't take each other to court. All that you can do is to declare a dispute and look for a mediator to come and mediate the dispute between you. But these entities that are not part of government can act on them, and we started to do that. And I can give you proof, because the committee has requested that we report on a quarterly basis. On what we are doing, on findings of the Auditor General. So we are ready for the next report to the committee. So that consequence management, Honorable Machesi, so we're moving, even in the department, we're taking disciplinary action. Even if you have qualified for a performance bonus, Honorable Van der Waals, you don't get it simply because you have cost department a finding from the Auditor General. Even if you walk on water, move mountains, just because of that, you are not getting it. And colleagues are very, very dissatisfied. If you get into the department, that will be the best thing that you can. And those are consequences that the committee said, I must meet out to everyone. So that's what we are doing. The minister responded to possibility of bringing in other companies and so on, so the minister has addressed that one. The issue of retention, I think Mr. Mafuku will talk to that one, whether we've increased retention. But the problem is that if a company gets liquidated, I mean, how is retention going to help you? Which happens more often than not with contractors. You simply get under. You've lost everything. But we'll talk about whether we've increased retention or not. We are not at the mercy of implementing agents. I think they've started to realize that. In the last meeting that I had with them, they have assured me that they are going to shape up. Because I told them that the money that we allocate to them reflects in the books of the department. If they don't exercise good governance, going to cut ties with them completely. And that is the approach that we have taken. A list of schools not completed, I'm sure we can get that information for you. We don't really have it readily available. Conflicting figures. Now, what I've learned also in line with the meeting that happened last week. Sometimes when people have little information or little authority, they become very uneasy. And they run all over the show with it, just to demonstrate that they got information. But the truth is that they got very little. And that applies to authority as well. Now, in the previous meetings, we've shared extensive information with the committee, including information that exposes the department to criticism on failure rate, on repetition rate, just to prove a point that these professors who've been telling the nation that the dropout rate is around 50% is not true. And we've given these statistics to you. It's very easy to verify statistics. There would be variances, there's no doubt. There will be variances, and it's very easy. You check what that essay is collecting, you check, and that's how we verify it. And our statistics is audited by the Auditor General. They even audit our information system.
And the variances that are there, they come out as findings. And by the way, how the whole country is funded is based on the stats collected by the statistician general, stats SA. Now, if that statistic is incorrect, it means even the funding of parliament is incorrect, because everything in the country is based on the statistics collected by stats SA, and we use their data to verify our data. But as the minister explained, there will always be variances, because if we say that there are 400 inappropriate schools at a particular point in time, there could be interventions from private donors, from provinces, from other people, and so on. And sometimes we are unable to keep up to pace or to keep up to date with the latest developments to make sure that the variances are narrowed to almost zero. But I think with the advent of the technology now, we are beginning to reduce the margins, but they are still there. But for me, they are not. There should always be room for variances. A small margin, but if the margin is too big, then it means your systems are not working at all. I think I've spoken to. We had met Minister with what is equal education. We met at our offices. And they appreciated the information that we shared with them. That's per their request. They came, we shared the information with them. They said, can you allow us to meet with other lines? I said, by all means. We don't have anything to hide. But Section 27, we haven't met with them because they have not made the request. If they request to meet with us, if they invite us to go and present, we go to any organization to share information. This is public information. We don't hide anything. We say it to them. And I'm sure they would have told you. If not, they will definitely do that in future. And then the... Minister, maybe I must leave the CSE thing. But we had responded to it in the past, and Dr. Whittle gave a very good response, in my view. But maybe the committee requires the presentation. The committee could arrange that, we could come and present, so that maybe we could... Budget cuts are fine, so I've shared a bit of information on that. Honorable Mwago, I've spoken to the issue of different figures, that the variances are there, but honestly the variances are not that big. But you'll always have them. The cost of building some of the schools vis-a-vis the need out there, I think you spot on. The minister always raised the issue at CDM. But you find that, the cost of some schools is probably more than building a university, or almost equivalent to building a university. The minister raised it. And if you were to get the exact figure, I'm sure you'll be shocked about the cost of some of this. But we are trying to deal with that, working with provinces. And Honorable Mwago also raised the issue of some provinces not filling in their posts for human resources and so on. We've reported before, and we'll continue to report, and we'll continue to share this with the province. As the minister said, the best that we could do is to keep on monitoring, edging provinces to move. But there are certain instances where you can't force them to do things. As the minister said, strictly speaking, that's why, our entry point is through conditional grants. It clearly says, in terms of the constitution, this is not imperative. It's not your area. But truth be told, a few things, and it's a bit unfortunate, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members, the FFC Fiscal Commission, which came to your committee the other day, one of the things that they should have explained is this which we are talking about, zero or very little allocation on infrastructure. Apart from that, national treasury and provincial treasury, because their role is to monitor whether provinces and national and appropriate financial resources where they are needed. Just ask yourselves, if we take away EIT and we take away ASID, what's going to happen? And the reason why we've got these problems around maintenance is because there is no allocation from the equitable share. Because it's the equitable share that has to take care of that. Because those facilities belong to provinces and have to budget for maintaining those facilities. Unfortunately, they don't. But I'm sure if you call them, they'll also tell you that it's because of the constrained environment, fiscal constrained environment, that there is no money, and as a result, they take money for teaching and learning, and they decide to depend on the kind. That's what you might give us an explanation. Honorable Van der Waal, you also referred to understanding provinces on EIT. Honorable Mwabo sort of responded to that. We're giving quarter one and quarter two report. Yeah. The problem is that infrastructure projects do not move in a linear, like, you know, salaries that you pay every month. Some projects would start late and then pick up. Yeah, that's fine. I mean, a province like Gauteng is very rare that they understand. I wouldn't be surprised that in the next quarter, they just shoot, they go up, they start paying. Projects have been running and they've not been paying, they are not starting to pay. And then we begin to see the things are going up. I've spoken to the issue of consequences on implementing agents and time frames. We have tightened our contracts for the MOUs and memorandum of understanding. Blacklisting, I think there are instances where you can blacklist, but I'm not sure whether you can blacklist for other performance. You simply terminate the service, you terminate the contract. But if there are nefarious activities, you blacklist. Treasury is very clear. If there are issues related to fraud and other things, but underperformance is a different way of dealing with it. So maintenance, Honorable Van der Waal, we talked about it. Reasons for cancelling tenders, I'm sure Mr. Mapuku would speak to that. Sometimes you find that you have awarded a tender to a person and people have undercoded. Yeah. Yeah. But in some instances, you get people submitting bids that are very low, and then when the reality dawns, then somebody says, hey, I think I'm not going to take it anymore. You go to number one, number two, you don't get anyone, number three, and so on, then you simply. But the ones that you refer to, you will explain. And the minister also responded about, calling provinces and MECs. Honorable Van der Waal, buildings with walls that get divided, they used to work before, but they seem to be creating challenges. And I think we even know that, even in the past, if you are busy with something this side and somebody is busy the other side, you sort of get to disrupt each other, especially if the noises are very high. No, multi-grade you run different. Multi-grade you in the same class you run different. Yeah. Honorable Sukri, linkages with other programs and other government departments, I must concede that, we really have not covered ourselves in glory. But we should be linking up with TVET colleges. you should be linking up with other departments, but you've not really mastered this thing of working together, because I have my performance agreement, that one has got his, we don't look at how I can enhance yours, you announcing my performance agreement. It's something that we'll look at going forward. I think it's really an idea. Okay, I think the one about big companies, we're just giving an example that there's no point in allocating projects to big companies that are failing. But the reality is that in the majority of cases, big companies perform. They do perform. It's small people who struggle to perform. Maybe for obvious reasons. Yeah. But we are trying to do something about it. There's government policy around subcontracting 30% and so on. Many communities are not happy about that because they are saying, you actually say they must come and pick up the, you know, the leftovers, something of that nature. Number of technical high schools that are going to be built, I'm not sure whether Mr. Mafuku would have that. Special care centers. My recollection says this belongs to social development. We don't build special care centers. We only provide education. Yeah. We go there to make sure that teaching and learning happens. But the facilities are managed by social development. They put them up, they mend them, and they buy them. Money paid per province spent on a project where work has not been completed. I'm sure we can get you that information as well. Mr. Mafuku might not have it readily available. And thank you, Mamu Chabalala, she's out. I mean, in meetings that I've attended in her presence, she's never missed to at least give us the reason to soldier on, commending us a little bit. That's what I remember her for. And I'm not saying other members cannot do that, but she always does that without saying. So thank you very much. Expenditure of the provinces like Gauteng, Northwest and Limpopo, I explained that let's not be too harsh. We'll move in and check, but I'm absolutely sure. Where there could be problems, it could be in the Northwest, because even last year, Minister, they had the same thing of underspending. I'm not sure about Limpopo. Limpopo will also check as to what are the issues there. And definitely in the third quarter, we should be able to indicate definitely as to what's going to happen. And then the school in Devon, I'm sure we'll go and find out where the disruption of the site happened and so on. We do monitor them so that they get daily reports. I didn't see this in my daily report. It could be an internal exam, but I'll go and find out the next time. It didn't feature in the daily report. The issue of the MOU with the KZN Department of Education and the Technic, we'll probably look at that. Honorable Siwela, where, you know, how do we prioritize, you know, other things when classrooms are in a bad shape and so on? That's the difficult decision that sometimes provinces have to make, whether you're going to choose sanitation and leave classrooms and so on. But ideally, I think classrooms and sanitation, to me, they should be like the same. Because if you don't have classrooms, where is learning and teaching going to happen? And in the case where provinces allocate less or little, is there anything that we can do? We can only persuade them, as the minister would do all the time, to pay attention to the equitable share and so on. But there's a limit to what you can do in cajoling, in nudging, you know, in trying to face with people. There's very little that you can do. How is the Honorable Muratetla, okay, I think a lot was about you know, emphasizing on the importance of learners and so on. So, and thank you very much for reminding us about that. The allocation on the equitable share, I think will help us to fight this battle. I think that's the commitment that you have made as public representatives and to provinces and even committees in parliament that oversee allocations to provinces that monitor even the use of money that's allocated, including especially the NCOP. I'm not sure to what extent is the National Assembly able to work together with the NCOP to strengthen oversight. So I think that would go a long way in helping to improve the situation. We'll improve our presentations, Honorable Murata. We always like to do better and to do more. But as the minister said, we stand guided by you. If you say that prepare on this item, we'll make sure that technically we give you as much information as possible so that you've got enough information to get a balanced view. Minister, I'm not sure whether the minister dealt with one of the fostering ownership of schools. I think it's a responsibility that all road players will have to help with. Public representatives, ordinary members of civil society. There is that problem. Schools get vandalized, they get destroyed, simply because you don't have ownership. But you get to some communities. In fact, I was told that in Vuani, you could have had more damage than what happened had it not been of some community members who said, you don't come close to our school. We've seen you burning those ones. Here you will not come. So if we could engender that sense of ownership throughout the country, I think it would go a long way. Where a school, a church, a hospital used to be sacred places, if you are chased by people who want to kill you, you run to a school or a church, they won't come near that. Thank you, Minister. Honorable Adunz, I would leave those that you have raised and others that I have not addressed to Mr. Mapukuru and Mr. Woman.
Thank you, DG. Just a few. The question on retention. Yes, DG, we have increased retention. Remember, in terms of the schedule of allocation, the industry standard is that retention will remain with 5 or 10%. What we have done in all the new projects is we have increased it to 50 to 30%. But the thing is, you can only do it in new projects. So for those projects that we allocated before, we are stuck by those contractual obligations, and that is where we have the biggest challenge. In fact, yesterday I was sitting in a meeting for the better part of the day with the team, looking at projects that we need to close out, which final accounts and draw them so that we transfer them to capital purchase committee. And we are not doing well basically because of that. You have PSPs that just because there is a little money left and the abandonment go to new projects. So for those projects that were ended previously, there is still these those issues, but all new projects that have been ended so far, we have changed it to take that perspective. The question on the tenders that were cancelled from Honorable Van der Waal, those are on the 61 schools that we are implementing internally. There were two things basically that led to. First of all, when those tenders were advertised, there was no, at that point, there was a misunderstanding in terms of the DTI requirement for steel materials. At that time, our understanding was that for your toilet, you don't need to declare 100%. But we even had about four meetings, and even the minister had to write a letter to the minister of DTI, and unfortunately, we couldn't get that confirmation. What it meant is that if we went ahead with those tenders, immediately even before we went on tender, those projects would have been irregular expenditure.
Mm.
So we had to withdraw them and re-advertise them. There's a second issue which is a slightly lesser, which has a slightly lesser impact. You had a contractor that were recommended, but immediately when you allocate to those contractors, we had four of those where they declared that they had underquoted. But then when we looked at awarding the second recommended contractor, that contractor didn't qualify. So it means that we had to go back and we have to as well. So those were the two major issues that led to those two reassessments. The issue of technical schools, Honorable Sukef, we will provide that information. We would have the list in terms of the names of the schools, which I don't have with me at the moment, but we will provide that list. That list to you immediately. I just wanted DG also to add in terms of linkages with other programs. Yes, in terms of linkages with other departments, for instance, currently we are working with the Department of Water and Sanitation on the state program, but we are not working that much with other departments. On the electrification program, we work very well with the Department of Energy, which assists us quite a lot. But also in terms of other programs, with regards to the three-stream model, as well as the ECD transfer to ECD, we are already talking to provinces in terms of being ready when the actual transfer comes, so that we should have, for instance, number one, we are reviewing the nonsense standards. What we are doing in the reviewing of nonsense standards is that by the time those nonsense standards are reviewed, we have already entered the grade RR issue into the nonsense standards, because initially we don't have grade R in our nonsense standards. So we are already being proactive in terms of dealing with those kinds of issues. The last one. Honorable Siwela, it was on the issue of flooding. I think DG addressed it quite well in terms of the SCAP. In infrastructure, we follow what we refer to as the SCAP. That your progress starts very slowly and it tends to pick up when you're in the middle of the program, and it peaks at the end of the program. So what we report on is schools that have reached practical completion. But you find that if for provinces we were giving a report just like us, if you see where the number of projects that are at 20%, 30%, 40%, 50%. So you see that a lot are in that category and they are moving, because the classroom, those are additional classrooms, those are not new schools. So towards the end of the financial year, then you see that spike in terms of those projects that are completed. So in terms of classrooms, one is not that apprehensive that we will not meet that target. I think we will meet that target. And remember, the classroom target is an annual target. So we are not reporting on a quarterly target. We are reporting on projects that will be completed at the end of the year. So I'm of an opinion that this one we will be able to meet. Then the last one is around the prioritization of schools. I did explain in the presentation to the Chair Minister as well that currently you'd realize that the majority of our projects are water and sanitation projects and additional classrooms. This is where the so what that implies is that you weigh your allocation and budget to a particular program, then the others will tend to suffer a little bit. That is why, in terms of laboratories, libraries, you see the number. If you compare with what we were doing in the previous year, you'd realize that the numbers have decreased. But the minister made it very clear to us that basic services, especially sanitation, is a priority. There is no way that we are not going to meet that target. So the budget has been loaded towards sanitation and additional platforms as a priority this time.
There's
the
last one. For the last part one, DG, the provinces that are not performing. I did indicate in the presentation, last week we met with Limpopo, we go out and spend almost the whole day with the entire team. We do have our quarterly meetings with all the provinces where we monitor progress and so on. But on these particular provinces where the red flags are beginning to appear, then we have an intensive session with those provinces. We will be going to Northwest this week to have the same session. In Northwest, remember, at DG, we have already also put in the PSU to go in and assist the province to improve. But when we go there this week, we will also want to come up with what we call a turnaround strategy, specifically for Northwest, because also as one of the members indicated, we are in administration. So Northwest is a particular project for us that we will, if there is a need for us, I did indicate even to our team members, if there is a need for us to dedicate some of the team members to the Northwest, that's definitely what we are going to do. Housing as well, housing as DG said, we are just monitoring it, but we are not very worried about it. Actually, we were saying to them that is how they perform every year. They start very slow, and in February, March, then they gobbled the entire budget. And in fact, in one of the years, we even instituted an investigation to say, is this money really going to infrastructure? But we found that indeed that is the case. So how can we are monitoring it, but we are not very, very worried about it. The last question from Honorable Adonis. Progress report on those schools. After the meeting with Section 27, we requested information from the Limpopo specifically on those schools that were in Section 27. But we will follow it up so that we get. So, because what we are also doing is to check against what is in SAFE, what is in the EIG, what is in ACD. But also, the report that we got from the province, there are 215 projects that have gone out on tender in Limpopo specifically from their own, from the EIG. So what we are doing is just to check if those schools are not in any of the four programs that we have mentioned, but we will provide that support to the honorable member. The project scoping plan in each province, what I indicated in terms of the presentation, in terms of how do we allocate funding to the province. The province is at the beginning of the year. In fact, in June of the previous financial year, they submit the draft plan. We evaluate those draft plans against our priorities. And we retain those as a to and fro between ourselves and the provinces until we approve. And the allocations that we go to provinces in December are based on that to and fro of their provincial plan. And the final allocation at the beginning of the financial year will be based on that. And then we do our monitoring of that plan based on that business plan that they submitted. So what DG requested us to change, which will kick in this financial year, is that for the next financial year, we first look at national priorities. If the plan has addressed national priorities, in this instance, national priorities are about basic services allocation, and then the province can add their own provincial priorities. So this is how we monitor that. New schools, 0% progress in Eastern Cape, Northern Cape, and Northwest. I think it's what we have explained to you, that it's an annual target. So we will be monitoring that. If by the end of the third quarter we still see that picture, or towards the end of the third quarter, then that we will go out full force to that province. what is happening. But currently we received four additional resources, and those resources, 80% of their work currently is to work on ACD and assist us in turning around the audit outcomes and all that. 20% of that work is on the EIG. For instance, now they Mr. Jacobs went to the Eastern Cape. Some of these projects that are done by the province, when he goes to visit that city project, it's also to go and see the EIG project that we like to see what is happening. So that intervention is kind of an approach to beginning to yield without as a result of the additional resources that we brought in.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, thank you very much. This is the longest presentation ever. For more than 3 hours. I don't think there are other followers here. Can I give you 30 seconds, please? Honorable Patrovar, Majesty, it's only the two of you.
Chair, I agree that you know, provinces are entities in the different spheres of government, but there's nothing wrong for calling provinces to come and explain to us how they work, etc. Not to, in a way, hold them account, but to hear what their challenges are and what their good stories to tell so we can pick it up. But surely, if we really have provinces and we study the 18 reports, go for some calls.
My issue with the CSE, the avalanche of the university procedure, and that we continue to receive. So what are the suggestions the minister is here, but the stakeholders that are actually shouting and, you know, saying what's even the cost of that can come and present us, because we have a site of the department. So I think maybe it's about time that we get from the side of the stakeholders that are actually concerned about the situation.
Thank you very much, Minister, DG, and all the officials. That is what I know to the minister. That is what I
know. No, I think I must do it. I just wish to say to this portfolio committee that I attend more than one portfolio committees. I'm happy our permanent chair is here. I just wish to make this remark. The ministers and the directors general are expect they have a responsibility to attend the portfolio committee. The Minister for the Basic Education Department and the Director General are attending our portfolio committees. They are respecting this committee. I just wanted to say that. I don't want to go further than that because the other things will belong to the National Assembly, who is doing what, who attends, who doesn't attend. Thank you
very much.
Just wanted to make that point.
Thank you very much. It's well appreciated. The emotion were given when we started, it was that they are not attentive, but we've been actually seeing that they are attentive. It's on our material. Thank you very much, Minister, and thank you very much for honoring our community.